We have, God talks to us in many, many different ways. But what we have to do is listen. And we have to listen intently. So here in Matthew 11, we'll start in verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. And Jesus had been teaching the multitude. And in verse 25 he says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent.'" Now, does that humble us a little? "And have revealed them to babes." Ants, do you feel like a babe at 90 years old? That's small. Yeah. Well, I see a lot of white hair out there. Not that mine is, but I... yeah, well, that's right. You're ahead of the game. Yeah. But really, we are babes. That's why God called us. And we are babes in Christ until that day when he changes us. And that will be truly a glorious day. And he says here in verse 26, "Yes, Father, it was well-pleasing in your sight to do this. All things were delivered to me by my Father." And he constantly repeated that. "And no one knows the Son unless the Father, as John 6:44 says, draws him." The Father has to reach out. The Father has to consider you and decide whether to draw you. And we will probably see that in a few scriptures here pretty soon. But Christ said, you know, you can't come to know me and really know who I am. You may believe in the Lord, but you don't really know who I am unless the Father draw you. And that is so foundational to our calling. But then Christ also showed how personally involved he is in our calling, because I'll just paraphrase. I think it gets the point a little better. He says, "No one can know the Father." In other words, you can't know who God is unless I personally choose to reveal him to you. So we better not ever get a haughty attitude about our own proudness. Christ had to let us know who the Father was. And so that's very important. Now we're going to see some more along this line. We might turn to John, the first chapter of John. There's an awful lot in the first chapter of John, but we'll just touch on a couple of verses probably. So here in John 1, we'll go to verse 10. So, "He was in the world," speaking of Christ, "and the world came into being through him," or because of him. He is the creator. "But the world did not know him." No, not only didn't know him, he came to his own people Israel, and they rejected him. In verse 12, this is again referring to us, not only us, but our predecessors in the first century. Verse 12, "But as many as did receive him," you see, "to those he gave authority to become the children of God." Now, that's a pretty awesome thing when you stop and think about it. And I know we try to get a grasp on it. We try to get our arms around it. I find it difficult to really get my arms around it. Now, I can put my arms around my wife, and I can comprehend that. But the truth that God, what he has in store for us, is it's really difficult. We can know it intellectually, but we really need to comprehend it more as we go through the Word. So he gave authority to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. And that's, of course, our part. We have to believe. And so we can go one more verse here. Who were not begotten. We were not begotten by bloodlines, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God. It was the Father's will that we be called, that we have an opportunity to be first fruits. First fruits into the whole kingdom of God. And that, brethren, is something we need to understand better. So let's go to James, the book of James. And we'll go to James 1. And we'll see what else we can add to this. In James 1, we will go to, let's go down here to verse 16. Verse 16. James says, do not deceive yourselves, my beloved children. And we have to always be aware of that. Every good act of giving, every perfect gift, didn't come from you. It comes from God. And then it can become maybe at least partly from us as we submit to God. But it does come from God, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. His will and his purpose are sure and unwavering. Verse 18, according to his own will, he begat us by the word of truth. Isn't that what we're going through here? Isn't that our main pipeline to God and to Christ? Is through his word. And it's such a blessing to be able to read it and see mostly what it's saying. We certainly don't know everything in there, but we can read the very important things that pertain to our salvation. And that's what, of course, we need to do. He begat us by the word that we might be a kind of first fruits of all his created beings. Now that's, again, very fantastic. So let's now go to Ephesians. You can turn over there. We'll get Paul involved in this. And certainly Paul had much for us. In the first chapter of Ephesians, I want to go to verse 3. Where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now that's just the tip of the iceberg. If we've been blessed now, it doesn't hold a candle to what God is going to do for us and to us as we go into the kingdom of God. So we need to keep that in mind. In heavenly things with Christ. And of course, it was Christ who made it possible. According as he has personally chosen us for himself before the foundation of the world. In other words, his plan was worked out. His plan was laid out with Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, and it was sure. And from that time on, then, it was at the appointed time when all these things began to take place. And it came down to this end time, and then God called us and has given us an opportunity to be in judgment now. Now, judgment, you know, when we hear that term, I think we tend to shy away a little bit from it. It implies something harsh. Well, God's judgment on those he's working with, I don't think is really harsh. It may be trying at times, but it's not really harsh. And we need to be thankful that we have that opportunity now. And then the other part of this. See, our part comes in here. He personally chose us and gave us this opportunity. But what does it say? In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Now that, you see, is what we must strive for. He has called us, he's given us the opportunity, but we certainly have our part to do. Having predestined us for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. Again, it's all because of God's will. So let's go to, Ephesians. Let's see here. I think we got a couple more things here, if I can find where it is. We'll go to 1 Peter. Let's turn over to 1 Peter, the first chapter, And here we'll see some of the same, but hopefully we'll pick up a little something extra. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, we'll start in verse 2. Who have been chosen? Well, Peter in verse 1, you know, Peter the apostle of Jesus Christ to the elect strangers. He was talking to some of the elect then, but of course it was written also for us. We who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God, the Father. In other words, the Father knew what would have to take place before he could have billions of new sons. He knew what that was, and we're going through it right now. And there will be a whole lot of people after us that will also have the opportunity. By sanctification through the Spirit unto what? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. So we definitely have our part. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope. And that's, brother, is what we, when we get down the dumps, we need to read the scriptures that give us hope, that talk about hope, because we do have great hope. All right, let's end this up in Romans 8, the 8th chapter. And I think that, well, Romans, of course, 8th chapter alone has so much in it. We'll just touch on a couple of things here. And Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's go to verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, it's hard for me to imagine glory being revealed in me. And you probably have some of the same problem. But yet God says that's going to be the case. Because when he's done with us and we have proved true, he will reveal glory through us. For the earnest expectation of the creation itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. It's all hinged upon the coming resurrection and the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth. So we need to keep that in mind as we struggle through each day and week. Because the creation was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who subjected it in hope, in order that the creation itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So that just adds to what we have read. Now, let's drop down to verse 28, and I'll close here. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called of God, according to his purpose. So we should not get too discouraged. God promises to be there and help. Because those whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his own son. And again, that's our part. We have to work on that. Now, whom he predestinated, these he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. And we will truly be glorified after the first resurrection. So, brethren, I just wanted to bring you those things. I know sometimes living in this present world, we get kind of discouraged, but we should not get too discouraged. God is for us, he is with us, and Christ is there helping us every step of the way.